Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Warning. The Outsider's Edge contains strong opinions, unconventional views, and contrarian stances. Listen, if you dare.
Hey, yo!
Sound of those sirens, y'all. That can only mean one thing. Thank you for listening to another edition of the Outsider's Edge podcast here on the Chairshot Radio Network, where we invite you to always enjoy your day the Chairshot way and use your head. This is your boy, Mr. Kyle Moores, and I am joined, as always, by the Kenny to my Kota, Mr. Ray Cash. How you doing, sir?
I am doing good, living my day the Chairshot way. Hey. Pretty good, man. I'm much better than yesterday.
Well, that's good.
I needed a mental health day, man, because, look, man, I am a very, you know me very well. I am very much a person who is a very emotional dude.
And don't take care of yourself.
I mean, you know, that didn't need to be said on air, but okay.
I mean, you know, most American adults don't take proper care of their mental health. I'm just...
That's fair.
Pointing out that you are one of them.
Yeah, that's fair. And it's true. And I can't dispute any of that. But no, man, we were scheduled to record yesterday. We've kind of moved our recording day to a better day for all of us. And the Twitter rhetoric just got too much to me. So we agreed, thankfully. And we were lock and step on this. Maybe some other time, maybe next week, maybe we got to that, whatever. No fucking ratings talk. We're not talking any of the rhetoric between the companies. I don't want to hear the name Smroni Smon at all. Like, I can't deal with it right now because I'm just so sick of the bullshit. I'm so sick of the rhetoric.
The big one is no ratings talk. We're done with that shit. Okay. Yeah, and for anybody who says that, oh, we're running from the conversation or whatever, nah, you can look through the archive. We've got like what, 4 or 5 episodes in the last 2 years alone about ratings and diving into the business aspects of ratings.
We have the ratings episode. There's one episode called the ratings episode.
And every time we say we're never going to talk about it again and we get dragged back in there, but this time, no, sir. No, ma'am. No, I'm sorry, Mr. Anonymous Keyboard Person, but we here at the Outsider's Edge are done with that conversation. We wash our hands of the whole thing. You know, what we're not done with, however, unfortunately, is fucking blood money. Because TikTok, here we are. It's time for Blood Money 6 back in the mix, as Mr. C. Platt has so eloquently titled it.
And for the record, y'all, just we understand this comes out Friday afternoon, so this show happened yesterday. We don't give a fuck. We're gonna preview the shit anyway. Just rock with us.
I mean, we don't even have to do a full preview. We can just talk the big shits. Like, just the important shit.
Keep it a buck. We can do that if you want, but keep it a buck. Every match on this card matters. Except for the pre-show match. But every match in this card matters. And more importantly, every card in this match, I'm not counting the tournament
every
matches.
Every card of this match, story. LOL.
Every match in this card, thank you. Push the tournament matches to the side because they're tournament matches. But the other matches, with the exception of the pre-show match that was made today, all have stories that last weeks, if not months. So, like, it is a fantastic card. It's just under the worst pretenses possible.
I mean, you know, unfortunately, you're right. It does look to be a very good card, but unfortunately, I am a person of principle, and my principle is if it's a Blood Money show, I ain't gonna watch. I will be at work, and that is what I will be doing. I will look up the results later, and I hope that the fans in attendance have a good time.
Well, I love you enough to watch for you.
I know you do, honey. That's why we're the golden lovers.
So, let's do this. Let's mix both styles. I'll run through the card, and then you can pick and choose what you want to rock with, and we'll go from there. How about we do that?
I mean, that's fine with me.
So on the kickoff show, the Usos are facing the Hurt Business, Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin. Of course, Mr. Saudi Arabia, Mansoor, finally gets his match against Mustafa Ali. In a no-holds-barred match, we have Bobby Lashley versus Goldberg. In a Hell in a Cell match, we have Edge versus Seth Rollins, and this is supposed to be the trilogy, the ender. Of course, we have the King of the Ring finals in Finn Balor and Xavier Woods, and the Queen's Crown finals with Zelina Vega versus Doudrop. Randy Orton and Matt Riddle defend their tag team championships against AJ Styles and Omos. Becky Lynch defends the SmackDown Women's Championship against Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks. Big E defends his WWE Championship against Drew McIntyre. And Roman Reigns defends his Universal Championship against Brock Lesnar. And it's important to note, as of tonight, from when you're listening to this, Friday night, that SmackDown is the first night the new rosters from the draft take place. So this is the very last thing that happens before the new rosters become genuinely real.
Okay. I want to start with the King of the Ring and the Queen's Crown. Why don't you lead us in with the story that's been told, and then we'll both give our pick for who we think's going to win.
Sure. So I want to start with the King of the Ring first, because I think there's more to talk about.
Yes.
With the Queen's Crown. On Raw, Xavier Woods beat Jinder Mahal. Kofi Kingston lost to Jinder Mahal. And Xavier Woods beat whoever he beat. I'll get it up. I'm sorry. But Xavier beat Jinder to get to the finals on Raw. Finn beat Cesaro. Sami Zayn beat Rey Mysterio. Because you know the story with Ray and Dominic. And Finn beat Sammy in a great match on SmackDown. And now we have Finn versus Xavier. As those of you who are fans of things outside of the ring know, Xavier Woods has been begging for the King of the Ring to come back for years.
Has said it's his like biggest career goal is to be King of the Ring.
That is his goal. His three goals in life were to get Kofi a world championship, get Big E a world championship, and become a PhD. He's done two of the three. He's basically got the PhD. It's just hours. But basically, he's done. And so the only other thing he wants is the King of the Ring. Finn Balor, known as the Demon King, also his nickname is the Prince. Prince Devitt, from those of you who are longtime fans. So great matchup. Xavier, who's probably really one of the most underrated dudes on the roster, puts in banger after banger every night, but no more as a tag guy. Finn Balor, who could easily be a top star in the company, kind of going through a bit of transition now, moving to Raw. I think it's going to be a fire match.
I got Xavier because it feels like, you know, and I mean, he probably would be the first to admit it. They're never going to make Xavier Woods a world champion. They're not going to do it. But, you know, Kofi got his title run. Big E got his title run. I feel like they're going to let Xavier be King Woods for a little while. And I'm here for it.
It's funny that the guy I forgot that Xavier beat is the most forgettable guy on the roster that fans hate. He'd be Ricochet.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Sorry.
If you associate with the people that he associates with who are so, like, gross that we won't even name them, you're not significant to me.
All right. I don't know, man. These are the type of things that they kind of – that Vince kind of pulls the rug underneath people for.
Oh, I know, right? Just, like, hurts your soul for no fucking reason.
Yeah, and look, I'm here for heat, but I don't know, man. And I could see Finn turning heel.
I mean, he was a heel right up until they called him up, and the only reason he wasn't a heel when they called him up is because Roman was super heel, and that's where they were throwing him.
Well, I disagree with that, because he turned back face around the time him and Adam Cole started feuding. He was faced the last 5-6 months of his actually he was faced when he was feuding with Kyle O'Reilly. It's just he was that kind of the tweener, but he was faced. He was a baby for sure. But he plays the heel so well. Like his run heel. Back in.
He's a better heel. He founded the Bullet Club as a heel. He's a better heel.
He probably is
especially because of his size, like being such a little guy that's like a main event little guy, like, yeah, be underhanded and dirty and like cocky and arrogant and like that kind of shit. You got a big dick, swing with it.
Well, we know you got a big dick, clearly.
Yeah, we do. He likes to thrust it at the
fucking camera. Right in front of the fucking camera.
Jesus.
I'll take Big E versus heel Finn Balor for a couple months.
I mean, yeah, that'd be fun.
That'd be really fun. But I got to go Woods. I just got to go Woods as kind of a thank you to the New Day, you know? And in Woods' situation, I don't mean to get on my high horse, and I promise you it'll just take a second, but all the backlash and the drama that's been caused with this Twitch situation, with all this, there's a reason Woods is the only guy that gets away with the shit he gets away with. It's because he's earned the trust of Vince, and he does everything in concert with Vince. He doesn't go outside of Vince, the parameters of Vince. He doesn't try to do things on the other hand. Like, up, up, down, down is everything that the Twitch guys want. But he was able to do it correctly, right? At least in the eyes of Vince. So I do feel like Vince feels like he maybe not owes Woods is the way to say it. But like, wants to reward him in a sense. You know what I'm saying? Does it make sense?
I mean, it makes sense. But I also think here's another reason why it's going to be Xavier Woods. G4 is getting ready to come back, and he's the host of G4. And King Xavier Woods sounds like a really cool name for the host of a TV show, especially a TV show made for nerds.
That's a great point. And man, look, hey, I'm a heel guy. But it'd be cool to get a babyface king for once, right?
It'd be cool.
Maybe.
Yeah, no, it'd be cool. And again, you know, give nerds a chance, especially black nerds. Give black nerds a chance.
Well, shit. Two of them been world champion the past couple years, so.
Is Bobby Lashley really a nerd?
I mean, I'm talking Kofi.
Oh, you were talking Kofi. Okay.
Yeah. Never mind. 2 years, right? 35, 38. Yeah, it's been.
I mean, I don't know because, like, who knows what happened in the before time? That was a long, long ago.
That's a great point. That was a whole other lifetime ago. That was a long, long ago. Okay, Queen's Court. Zelina Vega beat Toni Storm on SmackDown. Carmella beat Liv.
Blink and you'll miss him.
Well, literally every match. And Zelina beat Carmella to get to the final. Shayna Baszler squashed Dana Brooke. Doudrop beat Natty. And Doudrop beat Shayna Baszler in a bit of a surprise. So we got Doudrop versus
Lincoln. You'll miss him.
The longest match in the Queen's Court was 3 minutes. What the
sounds fuck, like? Sounds like about as much time as they're going to allow them to have in Saudi Arabia, where women are second class citizens.
They better get more than 3 minutes, dog. I'll be pissed. I'll be so fucking mad.
I hope you're prepared to have your pressure up, sir.
Got the blood pressure pills right here, baby.
All right. So we said it's Shayna versus Doudrop.
No, it's Doudrop versus Zelina Vega.
Doudrop versus Zelina. Okay. Okay. I'm going to say that they're going to give it to Doudrop to facilitate the beginning of her divorce from Ava Marie.
That's just nothing. She's been divorced.
I don't watch Raw. Can you tell?
Shayna Baszler broke her arm and she's been off TV for weeks.
Gosh, that didn't last. Then I'm going to say Doudrop because it's like, I love Zelina, but I just can't see them pushing Zelina very hard.
That's why Zelina's going to win. Vince loves underdogs. And most importantly, if you look at the gimmick of Queen, royalty, Zelina will eat that shit up, bro. She's already Miss Cosplay, right? She'll eat that shit up. She's been wanting to do Aaliyah Queen of the Damned cosplay. She'll eat that up. Think about this. It's probably also a make good for keeping her off that damn MSG show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on, dog. Like, that was cold-blooded, bro. And it wasn't all their fault. It was, but it wasn't all their fault. But, like, you can't keep her off the MSG show, the 20th anniversary of her dad dying at 9/11. But you got to put her out there in all the damn promo. That's kind of foul.
Yeah, I guess that's true. And I guess that's fair. But, like, since when has Vince ever given a shit?
I mean, he gives more of a shit than we think he does. He gives less of a shit than he should. But he gives more than we think he does.
I mean, all right, I guess that's also fair. All right, let's just, for the sake of, you know, draft implications, talk about title matches that involve people who are switching shows.
So that includes SmackDown Women's Championship and the WWE Championship.
Yeah.
So there's no way Drew McIntyre beats Big E. And that's crazy considering where we've been the past year or two. I think that's just kind of a fun match to say goodbye to Drew on that brand. And Big E is clearly the top guy on Raw. Clearly. Am I wrong in my assessments?
Nope. I don't think you're wrong in either of those assessments.
The real conversation is what they do with Becky, Bianca, and Sasha. Becky's the SmackDown Women's Champion on Raw. Charlotte's the Raw Women's Champion on SmackDown. Becky and Bianca are on Raw. Sasha's on SmackDown. I can see Sasha winning this match just to keep the title on SmackDown. Unless they do a New Day Street Profits title flip, which, I mean, it would work, but nobody wants to see that.
Nobody. So, I'm going to agree with you on that front. I say, so who all's going to Raw from that match?
Becky and Bianca.
Speaking of that. Becky and Bianca. Yes. And I know Bianca was talking that shit about she wants to be a dual champion and whatever. But, like, girl, slow your roll.
I'm glad you brought that up because they had the chance to make this shit make sense. They ran Bianca versus Charlotte this past Monday for the title. Bianca should have beat Charlotte. And then Sasha could have beat Becky. And then you could have led to the rematch of Becky versus Bianca with Bianca as champ going to the big shows later on. Could have made sense. But WWE got WWE, so.
Yeah, I mean, that's really fucking accurate. I feel like we were talking about probably, a month ago, how the SmackDown women's roster needed an injection of some kind of, like, new life because it was really fucking tiny. There were only a handful of them, and it was just, like, they need something. And then the draft happened, and they gave them something, But it felt like the thing that they gave them was just, oh, we just gonna like completely reshuffle the whole deck on you. All that synergy you had, all that shit you been building, all that stuff you had going on, nope. But you know what it really is though, Rance? And we've seen it happen time and time and time again. SmackDown's creative team consistently turns lemons into lemonade and finds a way to make these women's divisions fucking work. And Raw's women's division had been lacking and floundering. And so what they do, they dipped into the SmackDown well and they were just like, this character's built, this character's built, this character's over, and just doop, doop, doop.
Every time.
And so now here SmackDown is, they gotta rebuild the division all the fuck over again. So I guess it's boss time, baby.
I tell you, man, you're spot on, as every time. And I mean, I get why they do it, especially now, with SmackDown now basically the A show. Keep your big stars and build new stars later. Raw got 3 hours. They gotta fill time, baby. They need people that can fill segments.
I mean, that is fact. That is absolute fact. And like, I can get that, but damn, it's just like, whoo, shit. Every fucking time SmackDown builds up all of these characters, and the second the characters are working and like all the kinks are ironed out and Raw's women's division is floundering, they're just like, all right, let's move all the good things that are working over here and let's move all the things that have potential but just need a total reshoot over here.
Oh, it's very clearly a thank you for your service type situation.
Yeah. But the thing is, knowing what you know, if you're a woman on Raw, you got to be grateful to go to SmackDown because you're just like, all right. They're going to like give me a total character rework. I'm going to be spotlighted. Like, if I'm Shayna Baszler, I'm excited as a motherfucker right now.
Oh, man, Shayna's going to be world champion.
Especially because she's Sonya's muscle now.
That was pretty cool. And everybody wanted them to fight all this time, but nobody ever thought, put the fucking two cage fighters together. You know?
Oh, no, it's great, and it continues to further the best storyline in the goddamn division. Best storyline in the division don't have shit to do with the title.
We bitch all the time about they can't do mid-card storylines. For once, they got a mid-card storyline that's working.
Mm-hmm.
So, shout out to that.
You know, and pressure, the thing is, you know who's going to be really feeling the pressure to start booking mid-card women's storylines now? AEW, because they're creating a whole mid-card women's title, which I like. I like yes. That you're doing that. But the thing is, that really puts the pressure on you. You have got to book multiple recurring women's storylines that get time on Dynamite. Not just Rampage, not just Dark or Dark Elevation, or, you know, Thursday Night Delight or Sexy Time Sunday or whatever the fuck else show they're going to add to AEW the YouTube Uncut docket.
Yeah.
You know, no, put them on fucking Dynamite.
That's the key. They got the women. They got the stories. They just got to give them the time on the shows that matter.
And the thing is, that can be said about all of the companies except for Impact. Shout out to Impact for, like, booking their women well.
Look,
it's the only thing we'll ever give them props for, but we will give them props for it every time.
I don't like this shouting out of Impact, but they deserve to be shouted out, and I don't like it.
That's the thing. It is the only thing that we will consistently give them credit for every single time, but every single time, they deserve credit for it. They continue to book the women well and prominently and give them spots and use them in ways that don't insult my intelligence, and so I'm just like, you know what? Y'all fuck up literally everything else about your lives, but, like, props to you on that one.
Speaking of them, they got Bound for Glory Saturday, so we may talk about that at the end of the show, because there's one match I'm interested in.
We might talk about it. Yeah, we might, you know, mention a couple of things, give you some quick hits.
Before we talk about Roman and Brock, I do want to run, just real quick, run through the kind of the special matches on the card. Edge versus Rollins in Hell in a Cell. And Lashley versus Goldberg. I want to give whoever decided to finally give me, I can't speak for everybody, but to finally give me a reason to give a fuck about Goldberg, give that man a raise. Because I have not cared about Goldberg since Dolph Ziggler. Like, literally, they have found a way to make Goldberg manageable, digestible, right?
Well, it's because amazing. You know what? Because you know what the real difference is? You know what the real difference is? It's nowhere near the fucking title.
Spot on.
And it's not going anywhere near the fucking title. Spot instead of, you know, instead of, you know, using him in this fucking title match where you literally take an actual full-timer who's in their prime that you build cards around week in and week out and use them as cannon fodder for this 50-something-year-old man whose entrance is longer than the match fixing to be, that ruins the shit. But if you put it in a spectacle match, like, great. This is the perfect card to have it. A Goldberg match and a Lesnar match are the perfect matches to have on a card that features Edge and Seth Rollins in a Hell in a Cell. Because we know Edge and Seth Rollins are fixing to go 45 fucking minutes.
Easy.
And that's not including entrances. They're fixing to go 45 minutes, not including entrances. Goldberg and Brock are both fixing to take 5 minutes to get to the ring.
That's right.
2 minutes in the ring and 4 minutes to get out.
And keep it a bug, you know, Roman has never seen a entrance that he doesn't want to make go through two commercial breaks.
Shit. If Roman could, he'd start making his entrance right now.
True story. There was one SmackDown, dog. My boy came out at the beginning of the show. They cut to a promo package. Came back. My man was he was still on the ramp. They went to commercial. They came back. My man was at the stairs, dog. I was like, what are we doing, bro?
Oh, dude, I have clocked episodes of SmackDown where, like, him making his entrance lasted the entirety of the first segment, like, and it's 8:20 by the time he's finished, and at least half of that was him coming to the ring, and I'm just like, man, Undertaker went and influenced an entire generation in the worst possible fucking way.
And look, I hate it, but it's so obnoxious and fits the character so perfect, dog.
Oh, this work, it works from character's perspective. It like, it absolutely like does, because his whole head of the table thing is that he's a cocky prick. Speaking of, to connect our head of the table to the previous mention of the Naomi storyline, you know, this storyline is just a perfect bridge for Naomi to join the bloodline at the table and just be like, yo, man, I need the head of the table to pull some strings and get this bitch in the ring with me so that I can show her who the fuck is the boss.
That'd be fun, shared connective tissue. My only fear is if the alignments don't work. Because unless
I could see Sonya forcing Naomi to snap and like ultimately become like, I don't know. Maybe not full on heel, because Sonya's clearly a heel and a total bitch.
Yeah, like that's the only thing about it, because it would make perfect sense. But it could work. They could play it in a way that it could work, and Roman could hold it over her head, which could be a reason for Jimmy maybe to
turn on him.
Yeah.
Again.
So real quick, Goldberg Lashley, all about Goldberg's son, and I want to give Goldberg some credit here. That doesn't happen often. Want to give Goldberg some credit here. He is absolutely a meathead who does the same things over and over, but he has shown that he cares about how he's viewed. Maybe he sat down and realized, maybe I don't need to be doing the 3-minute matches. Maybe I need to give him a little more. The SummerSlam match was 12 minutes. I was shocked. So I don't, what I'm saying is, Kyle, though, I feel where you're coming from. I don't, give me 7. I'm not saying I need 20, but like, can you give me more than 3? Can you give me more than spear, jackhammer? Can you give me a lot?
But that's the thing. Like my please don't wasn't even so much, and it's Goldberg and he's from the era that I want to just finally go away because enough time has passed.
Okay,
it's,
I got you.
Even it is a please don't from a sense of I don't think he can give me more than spear, jackhammer. I don't think he can give me more than, you know, headlock, takedown, tie.
Regularly, you're right. But two nights a year, he can do it. Two nights a year, he can do it fine. The story told at SummerSlam was so shocking, fans didn't gravitate to it because they didn't expect it. But it was a nicely told story. Now, this match won't be long. No holds barred. It is not going to be long. I got Goldberg winning because he got to get his heat back, right?
I mean, maybe, but like the whole Hurt business going to be in Saudi Arabia. So like.
You're right. But then you're absolutely right. I wonder if Lil Gage is going to be, not Lil Gage, that motherfucker bigger than me now. If Gage is coming.
Isn't he like 15?
16, 15, 16, yeah. But I mean, Goldberg is adamant he's involved. So. Hey, I'm with you. Edge and Seth in the Hell in the Cell Opus final
in the marathon match.
Battle. Yes, there you go.
In the marathon match. The bigger question is who gives out first, the match or the audience?
And that is not
in any way, shape, or form an indictment of what I think the quality of the match will be.
Sure.
It's that's not. Fair. I think it's that the quality of the match will be very good. I think that Edge and Seth cannot wrestle a quick match in any way, shape, or form. Hell in the Cell in and of itself is a match that is meant to be on the longer end. This is a blow-off match. It is a special occasion match overseas. And so I'm just like, this shit could go 45 minutes to an hour. And do we have the attention span for that?
You know what though? They're gonna the show's gonna start with Big E versus Drew. I feel like that's what it's gonna start with. If I was them, I'd start the show with the Hell in a Cell match.
I mean, I guess, you know, Edge's entrance will get a pop. The gimmick will get a pop.
And you know, everybody's the most hyped for the first match of the card.
That's true. That's true.
So you give them all the opportunity to wear them out and throw AJ and Riddle out there and then let them get their breath back.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I'm going to take Edge in the match because it's supposed to be the blow off and the face has to come out triumphant and blah, 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 blah.
I'm going to take Edge, too, because, well, no, they're both going to Raw. So I was going to say one of them is going to the other. They're both going to the same show. It doesn't matter. No, fuck it. I'm going with Seth because he actually needs to win more than Edge does.
Oh, Seth definitely does need the win more than Edge does. But, like, I don't know. I'm in a weird place with Seth because it's like Seth needs the win more. But the thing with Seth is, like, Seth is always the most interesting when he's not the champion. And like when he starts winning, they put him back in the title picture and then they make him the champion. And then it all falls apart every time because he's just so much better as a chaser than he is as a champ.
That's true too. But I also think this is the best gimmick he's ever had.
The Messiah gimmick?
This is way past the Messiah.
What the fuck is he do? Is would you call this then?
The drip god.
I mean, I still consider it basically the Messiah.
It's Messiah light, with a little bit of Arthur Fleck, Joaquin Phoenix Joker, with a little. The Messiah was so rigid and wooden. He can be anything in this. He's obnoxious as hell. He is makes a fool of himself on a regular basis. But then he gets super serious in him. He couldn't do that as a Messiah. As a Messiah, he was very rigid. It had to be this. I just feel like he has a lot more opportunity to be who he is, right? I mean, I think.
I guess that's fair. I guess that's fair.
Roman and Brock. Paul Heyman put out a tweet.
Roman wins and I'm done.
All right, well.
Paul Heyman put out a tweet. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. You don't care. That's fine. We can move on. That just had I have a journalism all prepared, but no, it's okay. Just Forget Rance's nice little notes and stuff. It's all good. It's cool.
Go ahead with your. Go ahead. You had a nice little thing prepared. I want to hear it.
No, Roman wins. You're right. I agree. There we go.
All right, good. Well, we have some bills to pay, so we're going to take a quick pause for the cause, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about Ghetto lost his goddamn mind.
Journalism.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Go to powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT, get your free month. Again, that's powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Thanks for helping us pay those bills, y'all. I'm really sorry to have, like, completely destroyed Rance's heart, apparently, and taken the wind out of his sails. But if you're enjoying the show, you should go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot.
Don't buy the journalism shirt because it's not real. it died today.
Well, so did New Japan. So, like, let's talk about that.
Well, journalism's back because that was journalism. Oh, boy. G1 season, bro.
I mean, it is. That is, those are words. They are correct. But like, nah. We don't do here on the chair shot, we don't do state of a company things. We don't do that. However, if one were to assess the condition of New Japan Pro Wrestling right now,
your source
one might question the sanity and stability of one Ghetto. Because, like, if we look at some of the things that transpired during this G1, we try not to talk about this, but it is a thing that happened. Chase Owens pinned the ace clean in the middle of the ring with no shenanigans.
Crazy shit happens in the G1, bro. Yes. Yoshihashi gets wins in the fucking G1. Crazy shit happens.
But like, really though, the bigger indictment here is like, so the G1 is going on right now. Granted, it's off season for G1. Like, G1 would normally have happened during the summertime when there literally is nothing else going on. But it's still G1 season, and it just feels so much like an afterthought. And for what feels like, you know, the umpteenth time, not necessarily in the G1, but just in general, for like the umpteenth time, it feels like we're going to get Okada versus Ibushi.
I believe I'm looking up to make sure, but Kota Ibushi has been in 4 straight G1 finals.
Yep.
And I'm not a guy to complain about a great wrestler being put in a good spot. I'm not going to do that.
And but it's not an indictment against Kota or Okada.
Yeah, man, it's not. So here's my issue, and I'll give you your time because I know you. This is something you really wanted to get on. I think the problem with New Japan right now, and so much of it is pandemic related. Like, they have my sympathy for their entire company almost being ruined by the past 18, the before time, as we called it earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But so much of their problem has been over the past 3, 4, 5 years, doubling down on the same people, not yep. building new stars. Yep. With the exception of Jay White, they did not build any new stars. Kota Ibushi is not a new star just because he signed with the company, because he was always at the top of the card. They just wouldn't give him the belt because he wouldn't sign. So that's not a new star.
Even Shingo's not a new star. Shingo was an established Japanese star who came to the company.
Shingo's AJ Styles.
Yeah. Kenta was an established star who came to the company.
Yeah.
This is not building a new star. And more importantly, the reason that matters is because you look at Kenta and Shingo, and as great as they are, there's a lot of tread on those tires.
Especially Kenta.
Oh, yeah, especially Kenta. Kenta's shoulders, I'm pretty sure, are being held together with paper mache, spirit gum, and
that Kinesio tape he wears on it.
Yeah, like it's being held together mostly by hope.
Yes.
At this point. So, like, they have not built a whole lot of new stars. I mean, and some of the people that they could have turned into stars, they didn't and didn't and didn't, and eventually those people left. You know, the only one that I would say, you know, they had built as a star who ultimately left on them in the middle of his prime is Kenny.
Yeah.
But, like, other than that, you know, they never pulled the trigger on Kushida. Kushida deuced. They continued to, I'm trying to think, I had something other than Kushida, and I, like, completely just lost my train of thought. Oh, they have the opportunity right now with Sho, if they play their cards right.
Is Sho the one that joined Bullet Club, or is he the one that stayed?
Sho is the one that turned on Yo.
So he's the one with Evil and Togo and Takahashi. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, Sho got, I mean, I know you're not going to mention him because you don't like the guy, but, and I don't either, but the biggest example is Will Ospreay. They finally gave him the belt. Whatever happened with him happened with him. And, like, the Western world doesn't book like Japan does. I respect that. I get cultural norms are different. Booking styles are different. I completely respect that. But what doesn't matter what side of the world, what planet, what universe, what galaxy you're in. Shingo versus Ospreay for the title Ospreay never lost makes sense at Wrestle Kingdom.
Right? You know who else they never pulled the trigger on? I mean, he's still there, but they've never pulled the trigger on him beyond, like, he won, I think, the New Japan Cup a couple years ago. Sabre.
Zack Sabre's another guy.
Yeah, they never, like, push him beyond a certain limit.
I mean, I don't care for the guy very much, but Hiroshi Goto got pushed over for a decade.
Ishii.
The gatekeeper is right with us on that one.
I was going to say, anybody who's a fan of New Japan will tell you Tomohiro Ishii is that dude.
And I mean, I get it. I kind of get it, but I don't. I get it. Like, there's a pillar structure there, right? Mm-hmm. Tanahashi is still considered the ace, and Tanahashi ain't been the best dude in the company in 6-7 years.
No, that's been Okada for a hot minute.
Good ass minute. Naito's knee's gone. He's a tag wrestler now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he tagged with Sonata's another guy that keeps getting pushed over.
Yeah.
I think they've realized Sonata just ain't it, bro.
Nope. Well, because Sonata's got kind of a similar problem with, like, that Goto has, or that, like, Randy Orton has, in that Sonata's only plugged in when Sonata wants to be plugged in. And if he don't feel like plugging in today, then you're gonna get whatever you got.
As spot on. That's the goddamn truth. The biggest issue they have, I think, is that they still stick stringently to their divisions. Because if you gave Hiromu a shot, Hiromu would be a superstar tomorrow. He's a superstar now. But I'm talking about in the heavyweight division.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? In the heavyweight division, he'd be a super... He'd be your big. You know how
ticking
much merch
time
you sell?
Bomb shit.
You know how much merch you would sell?
Ticking time bomb. All those cats. All those Daryls.
And Daryl Jr.
And Daryl Jr.
Yeah, shout out to Daryl Jr.
Shit.
It's disappointing to me.
They've also seemingly kind of struck out a lot in a few crops of young lions. And I don't mean struck out. I don't mean struck out in the sense that like everybody sucks, but like a couple years ago, you remember Kitamura, they were really building up to be like this big monster.
Thank you. Yes.
They were really building Kitamura up to be like this big monster, like to the point where he wasn't even going to go on excursion. They were just giving him a 7-match showcase series against like established people on the roster because he had such.
Kojima.
Yeah, because he had such a unique ass look and blah, blah, blah. And like he was being allowed to do more and more offense and all this other shit. And it's just like he got hurt or whatever and then was just gone. Just gone.
But didn't he retire?
I think maybe, yeah. You know, then like some of the other people that had momentum, you know, they sent Finn Juice to America to help start New Japan America.
Can we talk about a guy that they tried to push that either I don't think it worked. Other people will say it's the company's fault. But Juice Robinson was next up for a minute, and now Juice Robinson's just another guy.
Yeah.
And David Finley's a great wrestler, but he was always just another guy. But Juice was a star.
Mm-hmm. He was over like Rover. They loved him.
I'm a fan of the dude. I'm a fan of who he is and how hard he works and how good he is. I didn't think it was going to work because I don't think he's good enough.
Mm-hmm.
But New Japan did. And, I mean, now he's a tag guy. You know, so right now, Gabe Kidd is coming back now from excursion. Shota should be done in a minute.
Shota is their best bet, I think, honestly.
Shota's the kid.
I think he's their best bet, too. But he can also go. And, like, I really think he's their best bet at, like, a new star on the rise.
I like Gabe Kidd, too, though. I like Gabe Kidd a lot. There's some young Lions who are on the end of excursion or that kind of vein who have a lot of potential. The issue is New Japan is not one unless you're a superstar from another company coming in. If you're coming through the circuit, you ain't going. Toa Hanari just started getting wins. He's been how long? And he had to turn heel and join the United Empire to do it.
That's facts. That is facts.
They don't just push you off the gate like that. They don't do that.
Which is why, you know, this. It sucks, but like this honestly makes a whole lot of sense that the company's in the position they're in. If you look at the trends of the company historically, New Japan goes through lulls. And this is why New Japan goes through lulls, because they are so committed to the way that they do things over the long term that now you have a situation like what they've had because of the pandemic and then because of injuries and because AEW got started as a thing.
That's huge.
Like, they have a situation where all of a sudden you have a lot of people who either didn't work out or who got hurt or who signed with this competitor's company. And so now you're like in this position where you don't have the depth that you used to have and you're no longer necessarily the preferred landing spot for the English language wrestlers.
I want to talk about New Japan of America here in a second, because that's almost more interesting as a company or a brand than New Japan proper. But I want to ask you a very unfair question.
Go ahead.
I say it's unfair because, well, you'll hear why. I understand that so much of this is not this man's fault. But is it fair to say that maybe Shingo Takagi is a failure as champion? I understand the situations involved, but in any other company, in any other situation, the strength of the company is always tied to who's the champ.
I'm going to say no. And the reason I'm going to say no is because Shingo, to me, feels like the person who the boat has already sunk like halfway and the actual captain got on one of the lifeboats. And so now this other dude's been named captain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, nah, dog, I'm not going to blame you for the ship going down because like you were just kind of made captain at the last minute with a ship that was halfway underwater. I'm not going to call Shingo a bad champion because of the way that the company is right now, because Shingo got made champion after Will left, after Kenny left, after after the pandemic hit and Evil didn't work out as champion and
after all these shit on Naito.
Yeah, after all of that other shit happened, then it was, okay, well, we're going to give Shingo this belt. And it's just like, it is not your fault that the company has no momentum right now. And it's that, you know, I think some of the issue, not as much of it as could necessarily, as maybe you want to think, but I do at least think some of the issue is, it's October and we're doing G1. Like, this is supposed to, G1 should be happening at my birthday in the middle of August.
So, you're right, it's not his fault. And I'm not blaming him for anything. But I think the answer has to be yes, he's failed as a champion. For one reason. In every company, in every situation, no matter how bad it is, you can at least say, like right now, as bad as people think WWE is, hey, man, Roman been killing it, though. Right? At the very least, you can say that about something or somebody.
So
Shingo, nobody, New Japan as a whole is down. But at the very least, someone can say, man, the work Shingo is doing has been amazing. You don't hear that. You don't hear anything interesting about them. At least you could say, and I don't think, again, this isn't his fault. It's not his fault at all. But like you can't, there's no one saying, man, look, I know New Japan down right now, bro, but have you seen what Shingo been doing this year? Did you see that story Shingo was in? Did you see that run of matches Shingo had with blah blah blah? Nobody's saying that.
I mean, to be fair, nobody's really saying a whole lot about New Japan, period, right now.
And that's my point. Shingo could be the one shining light that makes people care.
I think your evaluation of him as champion comes down to whether you think it is the champion's job to bring eyes in or just to keep eyes from leaving.
Yes, fair assessment. I put it like this. If I'm gonna give the blame to the champion for when things are doing great, you have to give credit to the champion. When things are going good, you have to give blame to them when they're going bad. And it doesn't necessarily mean it's their fault. But the champion is the one person who gets the most time on the show, the most promotion, the most booking privileges. He get that male or female, whatever the top champion of the company is, they get the most opportunities be seen by the public. So if nothing else, if you went to a WWE show and you have nothing else, you could, if you hated it, nothing else, Roman or Big E or Becky or Charlotte or Kenny Omega or Britt Baker, they're going to do something that makes you say, damn, well, the show sucked, but I remember that shit. Nothing from Shingo. And that's the only reason why I think the run has been a failure. I think he's great. I think he can be a great champion. I think the state of New Japan is 100% the reason why he's in a lull. But I just think, man, I'm looking at you to say, I'm going to put this on my back, bro.
I mean, I think that's fair. I think it's also harder in New Japan for the champion to do that because of the way that the company books.
Agreed.
Like, especially G1 season, like, depending on, you know, if he was in A block, for example, and it's a B block competition night, then homie's in one of the multi-man tag matches in the beginning of the card.
Yeah.
If he's on the card at all.
Yeah. Spot on, man. Look, I agree. I don't feel good about my take, but.
I mean, I guess my last thoughts on it would just be to build off what I just said. I think that everything you said is fair. I just think that the way that New Japan books makes it a lot harder for us to expect the champion to work those kinds of miracles.
I think that's absolutely fair.
But I think that everything that you said is valid. And I mean, ultimately, you know, you either have to hope that they're able to find that new star and like build them up, or that the fans just like really gravitate to somebody.
So real quick, I want to read to you some of the people that are in New Japan Strong. And I'm not talking about the crossovers.
Talking about their actual roster.
Just naming a few people.
The only person I know is Hikaleo, so.
Okay. So I'm going to name a few people. Brody King, debuting next month. The former Murphy, Buddy Matthews. Okay. Chris Bay. Chris Dirty Dickinson. Until recently, Daniel Garcia. Danny Limelight of the new LAX. Of course, Gallows and Anderson, you know that, you know. Fred Yehi. Josh Alexander. Lance Archer. The former Aiden English, Matt Morris.
Yeah, isn't he one of their lead commentators or something?
He is. PJ Black. Ray Horace. Royce Isaacs. Filthy Tom Lawler. Willie Yuta. Like, I'm telling you, bro.
And they got four fingers. They got four fingers black and all.
And by the way, just recently, Alex Zane came back there now. And Aria Davari. Like, I'm sorry. One more. Leo Rush.
Yeah, speaking of Leo Rush, this motherfucker talking about he retiring and now he not retiring and wants to be the first black champion. Yeah.
That's a whole other conversation for another day. I rock with Leo, but he just got to chill sometimes.
Well, he's like a Kanye for me in the sense that like I can never believe anything that he says because every 5 minutes he's doubling back and saying something totally different or like going against what he said before. And it's just like, dog, like I've lost my ability to trust you.
He's the perfect example of when Herm Edwards had that, he had that viral conversation with all the rookies where he was talking about tweeting and he said, don't press send. Leo seems to live on his impulses. And sometimes, bro, you got to let that shit ride for a minute before you say something or you go out and do it.
Homie because does not have a page of drafts.
I'm saying, like, if you sit and talk to him, like I heard the reason why he retired, it made sense. But had you just not said nothing for a week, you'd have been fine. But you coming out and saying this shit and then going back on it makes you look crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So just like sometimes sit on it, dog. You ain't got to say everything the second you think it. It's all right.
I mean, yeah.
And what does it say about AEW that Leo Rush walks into the company and is easily the highest rank, the highest statured black man?
That they disrespect Hobbs?
Well, clearly they do, but I mean, you know. So with respect, Starks is a black dude too.
You know, he is, but like, I did not know that until recently.
Yeah.
Like, you know, well, yeah, but you know, them Louisiana is hard to tell.
Creole people are
hard
very
hard to tell. You nice. Cannot assume with the Cajun folk.
Understood. You're right. One of my best friends is Creole. I get it.
Yeah, you can't make assumptions with the Cajun folk. And so, like, I wasn't sure for a little bit. And, like, you know, when I recently learned that information, it was one of those moments where I'm just like, okay, like, I ain't surprised. I'm not, like, shocked. Like, this revelation does not change anything about my mentals. But, like, Okay. Okay. It does make me understand a little bit more the way that you're treated on the roster.
So for the record, is there anything else you have on New Japan Strong? Because I got some journalism.
I mean, New Japan's pretty weak right now, so no, I don't have anything else.
And dog, for the record, 3 nights of Wrestle Kingdom, bro. Like, dog, get
big homie. Your company, like, big homie, your company can barely handle their usual two right now.
Get, like, I'm saying, dog, like, get out your own way, big dog. Like, there's not a match you could book right now that makes me say I'm gonna stay up tonight and watch that. There's not one.
Oh shit, fuck. Three nights of Wrestle Kingdom with their existing roster size, is everybody on the fucking roster gonna get a match?
Well, you know what it's gonna be. They're gonna call out to their friends over at Impact, call out to their friends over at Ring of Honor, finally, call their friends at AEW, and the Forbidden Door is gonna be at Tokyo Airport.
Okay.
Yokohama Airport. So that's what they're gonna do. Because it's gonna be Tanahashi versus Mox. Clearly, that's probably going to be what they do, right?
At least one's got a story that they've been telling.
I can rock with that. Ibushi not beating Okada. It's Okada time. This is like when Roman didn't have championship for 2 years, and they were like, "Nope, it's time, bro." Okada versus Shingo.
Well, Rainmaker, yeah, especially in the current state of the company, this is most assuredly, in case of emergency, break open glass.
LOL. Okada wins. Rainmaker 1-2-3. There's nothing right now that you can say, like, in years past there was 2 or 3 that made people like, yo, I'm gonna have to stay up to catch that. Nah, bro, I'll catch it on the rerun. It's not that important right now. But we spoke about Leo Rush and a few AEW people. The biggest and most popular star yet to be crowned has his shot in a couple of weeks. Hangman Page has made his illustrious return and won the Casino Battle Royal, and it's been made official at Full Gear. The Cleaner, the Belt Collector, Kenny Omega, the Best Bout Machine, will be defending against Hangman Adam Page at Full Gear in Minnesota. I clearly have a dog in the fight as you. We are big Hangman Page people in this house. I have told you I have trust in Shmoney to often do the right thing. He's shown that he will eventually. But my question is, do they trust Hangman to be the guy in lieu of all of the stars they've just signed? And I know that they made a big step with bringing him back and putting him at the top, but he's already announced another title tournament already before Hangman got the fucking shot. So what are you thinking about this whole process? Are you nervous? How are you feeling?
I mean, to be perfectly honest, I'm feeling like they missed their moment to do this earlier. And so at this point, I'm just like, well, I'm going to be happy for Hangman if he gets it. But the moment has already passed. So, like, do whatever you're going to do.
So this is Wrestle Kingdom for you when Naito lost to Okada.
And I thought we agreed never to speak of that again.
Nah, bruh. We gonna talk about it all today, bruh. Since you not you stopping my journalism, it all comes out today.
I had forgotten all about that time that
I haven't
showed his disdain.
I haven't. And yes, I'm gonna if I don't call you tonight, I'm gonna call you tomorrow, Joshua Smith, and I'm gonna bring back what you told me to have patience. And I did, and Kenta sat on that man after he won the title. Yes.
Yeah, he did.
Joshua Smith, Jeremy Donovan. Yes, I'm calling out names.
Your incredibly successful show, Keeping It Strong Style.
Love you, boys. I'll tell you this. Personally, I'm not as invested. But I think the crowd still is. And that's the one thing I give them credit. The whole crowd seems to still be invested.
Well, so like Hangman's over. Like he is. He is. I think part of the issue we're having is it's hard to know what AEW is gonna do. because they don't, number one, they haven't existed long enough for us to like really have a good gauge of like, well, this is their tendency in these situations. But number two, because they were recently like, creative was recently fully taken over by a cocaine addict. So like, who knows what that person is going to do?
I mean, probably put the biggest match you could book at the moment on a pre-show on YouTube for no money. Nonetheless,
you want to know how we know Ghetto's desperate? You want to know how we know Ghetto's desperate? You want to know how we know Ghetto's punk ass is feeling the hurt and like has no power right now? This man let Bryan Danielson and Minoru Suzuki fight for free on YouTube. This man allowed that to happen. That match alone could have sold one of the lesser New Japan pay-per-views.
By the way, and this is interesting coming from me, Mr. Wins and Losses Don't Matter, because they don't. But it's interesting. Every single match Suzuki's had in AEW, he's lost. Hold on, I got one more, Kyle. Hold on.
I mean, more curiously, Brother Rance, if you really look at the history of New Japan stars appearing in AEW, have the New Japan stars won a single match on AEW?
I do not believe so, unless you count one Lance Archer, who is...
Who we do not count because he is signed to All Elite Wrestling.
So no, my dear brother. I do not believe so.
Curious indeed. Curious indeed.
Well, as we go back to Hangman, I'll tell you this. There are some fans that still believe that it's not his time yet. He needs to lose one more and rebuild. If he loses, is he ruined?
Yep. So I'm giving you a name, and I'm not saying it's a career parallel, but I'm going to give you a name. And when I give you this name, I think you're going to understand where I'm going with this. Kane.
Okay.
In the sense, it will not irreparably harm him in the sense that like he'll never get it. But like, you remember how Kane won the title for a cup of coffee and then lost the title and then didn't win a world title again for what was it, 12, 13 years?
Something of the sort, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was like he won that first blood match in like 97 for like a cup of coffee, and then I don't think he won another one until like 2007.
Money in the Bank.
When he cashed in the Money in the Bank and was maskless and blah, 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 blah. If you have Kenny beat him clean twice, that will totally neuter his momentum. And by the time you do crown him at that point, you will have wasted an opportunity.
So I have one more question for you. And this is unfair to you again, because I'm going to ask a person who is very open about their multiple biases to be unbiased. So I'll ask you to try, okay? Mm-hmm. From a business standpoint, what makes more sense? Giving Hangman the strap or pressing on and putting it on Danielson or Punk in 2-4 months?
So my real response is that is not an either or question.
Okay.
That's my real response. It's not an either or question. There is no law that says your first title reign has to be a long title reign. Randy Orton is a 13-time world champion, and he was the world champion for like a month and a half.
I likes it. Okay.
Like that's number one. There is no law anywhere that says your first world title reign has to be a long world title reign. New Japan even is notorious for, we're going to give you the belt the first time for like a couple of months. We'll let you defend it successfully once, and then we're going to feed you to an actual bigger star. But then like next year when the G1 rolls around, you're now former world champion in the A block.
That's a great point. Like,
when you win the A block, now you're former world champion, A block winner.
I think the bigger crown than even winning the title is beating Kenny for the title.
Exactly. So like that's number one. So like that's my number one is, you know, that's not an either or question. Number two, I think you do it now because Kenny's already held the belt too long.
Yeah.
I think like, and that's not to say that there's been anything wrong with the reign or wrong with the gimmick, but I think it's run its course at status quo. Bucks dropped the tag titles. Like it's time for Kenny to drop the big belt. He dropped the Impact belt to like show chinks in the armor. Now it's time to drop the big one. But I think the other reason you do it now is because, like you said, that's the bigger coup. This is the opportunity to legitimately solidify Hangman as not just a flavor of the month, but as one of y'all's top stars. And not to mention, you say he needs to lose one more. He's already lost two world title matches because he lost to Jericho in the first ever AEW world title match.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's very true.
So, like, yeah, you let him beat Kenny. You solidify him as a top star. You entrench him in that echelon. Let him hold the belt for like 3 months or whatever until it's time for whatever. I think it'll be Double or Nothing will be the next pay-per-view after Full Gear.
Revolution.
Revolution. Okay, yeah. Let him hold the belt to like Revolution. And then, yeah, if you want to have him drop it to Punk or Danielson, fine, do that. Punk and Danielson are legends. You can have a new star drop a belt to a legend anytime.
So the question in my mind, because I agree with you, but the question in my mind, if I'm taking off my fan bias hat, is really about the business of the company. What will grow AEW bigger? Will crowning a new, relatively unknown in the eyes of the masses guy, who's super over with that fan base, beating their guy, will that do better business than continuing the title reign until, say, maybe Double or Nothing, in the big weekend, and letting the biggest star in your company, well, one or two, Brian or Punk, whoever it is, beat him, yeah, which will make national news?
Yeah, but like, let me say this. And this is not disrespect to Brian Danielson. It's not. I promise it's not. Brian Danielson was the biggest star in WWE for years. How many billboards did they put him on? How many times did they front and center him on things?
Okay.
How many times did they brand around him?
You're right.
And the same thing for Punk. Now for Punk, the flip side, is they didn't do a lot of that until he bitched about it. And then he like forced them to do it. Now, I would argue AEW is already doing more to market around Punk. They gave him his own show.
You're right.
Rampage is his show.
And he's legit one of the biggest combat sports stars in the world. Legitimately.
They gave him his own show. So, but like, the thing is, I'm gonna say this. You're thinking like a TK.
Yeah, I'm asking.
No, but you're but you're thinking like a TK in not the right way. You're thinking like a TK. I put the belt on Punk or Danielson because they're my biggest stars right now. Punk's in his 40s. Danielson is pushing 40 and has serious health concerns.
That's fair.
Hangman Page is 31 years old, or he's about to be 31 years old. If I'm really thinking about the health of my company, I entrench this guy who's like 30, 31 years old as the meat and potatoes going forward.
One more retort. Because again, I agree with you, but I think this is a good conversation because these are the things that we as fans don't think about. that affects legitimate reasons why things happen. One more retort. Let's say you go with Hangman. Right now, I said we're going to talk ratings, so I'll try my best not to ask this question in that way. But right now, things are doing well, but there are metrics where they're not. If those metrics continue to not do well, and they do worse with Hangman as champion, because again, there's a big portion of the fan base that doesn't know Hangman Page like that. Is it still the best thing for the future of the business? Because your boy, Shmoney, TK, has put himself in a situation where he used the analogy in an interview talking about he bet all the chips, right? Put all the chips in on the poker table. Shout out to Duke Hudson. Quite literally, he has. You can't take a loss when you're doing that.
So I think that that's a really fair question to ask. I think if we look at, honestly, if we look at the markets that they're not doing well with, though, like, I don't see where Danielson or Punk moves that needle any further than Hangman does.
Okay.
Realistically. If we're just focusing in on the markets that they're like not currently pulling in.
I'm talking more TV stuff, but you know, I don't want to talk ratings. So people are gonna watch if they see those two guys or even Adam Cole, someone that they know. I don't know if people gotta watch to see Hangman. Yeah,
but here's the thing, man. Here's the thing, man. We already know that his first feud's gonna be Wyndham Rotunda, so like
please, Bray, don't go over there, dog. And that's not me hating AEW because, like, I love
what they're doing. Oh, no. New Japan or New Japan or Impact or Ring of Honor would be a better spot for him because he will be the fish in the pond. But I've kind of resigned myself to the fact that he'll probably end up there.
Probably. And, I mean, such is life and so on and so forth and whatnot. And more tribalism and this, that, and the other. I mean, look, you're right. You did look... I agree with everything you're saying. I think Hangman is the best thing for business. I think sometimes you got to be willing to lose a little to gain a lot. And I think at some point you have to book for your future. But I also understand that you want to keep the status quo. And Punk, Danielson, and to a lesser extent, Moxley and Cole will keep you consistent. And I don't know which one they need more right now. They need legitimate long-term consistency, or they need volatile, blah, 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 but then their growth comes. It's like, do I want to invest in crypto? Or do I want to put money in the stock market? Crypto is volatile as fuck. Stock markets are volatile, but they're pretty stable. Put the right stock. So like, it's like which one you want. You'll make more money in crypto quicker than you will in stocks.
I mean, I think history has shown us that the right answer is you've got to mix in both.
Yeah, yeah. That's actually the correct answer. So at which point, which door do you go through on November, blah, blah, blah?
I still feel like you got to go through the Hangman door now.
Please.
Because the other thing is you've got to see if he is that guy. Because if he's not that guy, then you've got to start looking at who is.
Great point.
I gotta figure it out. Is he that guy?
I didn't think about that. Because you got four dudes ready to step up.
Well, you've got four dudes ready to step up, but also, y'all, these doors work both fucking ways. And loyalty only goes so far. If you put me in title match after title match after title match and dangle the carrot and you made it seem like I was going to be the leader of this stable out of nowhere and then change direction on that at the last minute and just keep doing all this shit, yeah, we might be friends, but like maybe these people who have a Brinks truck just as big as your Brinks truck are guaranteeing me some like shit that I used to dream about doing and I can make bank-ass money to go do it. And maybe that matters to me right now. Doors work more than one way.
My brother, I could have said that better myself. That's you hey, wonderful. All right. We're going to get out of here. I got a quick hit for you, though. I mentioned Impact has Bound for Glory this weekend.
I have the Inspirations winning the Women's Tag Team Championships in their debut.
They better. They had better. For the record, I'll give you all the fucking card, fucking Impact. The digital Impact has a digital media championship, which is...
Because, of course, they do.
I appreciate the idea behind it. It's an intergender title, and it's going to be... it's going to be like mainly for like social spaces like Twitter and YouTube and stuff like that. The fact that they got an intergender title is cool to me.
Yeah, that is cool. I'll give them that. That's cool.
But that's John Skyler versus Crazy Steve versus Fala Ba versus Jordan Grace versus Chelsea Green versus Tenille Dashwood. Heath and We Don't To Be Announced, aka Rhino, versus Violent by Design. There's a Call Your Shot Gauntlet match, which is essentially Money in the Bank, but through a gauntlet version, with Rich Swann, Brian Myers, Moose, Big Cass, aka W. Morrissey, Chris Sabin, and 15 other nobodies. We don't know who they are. You mentioned the Knockouts tag team titles between Decay and The Inspiration. The Impact World tag team titles between the Good Brothers, and it's either Finjuice or the Bullet Club, which is Chris Bay and Hikuleo. I don't know why the or is. That makes no sense to me. And what should be probably the best match of the night, the Impact X Division Championship Triple Threat, Trey Miguel, who should have came to WWE, but whatever. He's in the same spot he was when he left. But Trey Miguel versus El Fantasmo versus, shout out to Steve Macklin, making some of himself.
Yeah, good for him.
Make some for yourself, big dog. I guess someone would call this a dream match in some regards, right? Deonna Purrazzo defends against Mickie James. That could be fun. I'm not a Deonna fan, but that could be fun. But I'm here for this, bro. That I hate Austin Aries with the passion of a burning sand, the burning sands. But Austin Aries created in kayfabe, of course.
Option C,
which is probably one of the best things Impact has ever done. If you don't know what that is, Option C means that the X Division champion can cash in his title for a shot at the Impact World Championship. Josh Alexander, who has been the most underrated talent in that company for years, was X Division champion and was a very good X Division champion, cashed in the title, picked Option C, and it's Josh Alexander, one of Canada's greatest exports, versus one of its biggest exports, Christian Cage, for the Impact World Championship. I'm not spending no money on this bullshit, but I may catch a stream to watch this match. I am interested in Alexander versus Cage. Any interest?
I mean, there are a handful of those matches that would interest me for sure. You know, the enduring issue with Impact is that they're Impact. You know, it's just like really what it comes down to. They're a company that it's hard to invest in, because they have a track record of like getting you real, real hyped and then doing everything that they can to disappoint you.
So question on air, my brother.
Yeah.
I know we believe in buying and supporting the shit. I hate that fucking thing we do, but I believe in it.
Yes, we do.
Are we going to have to buy this shit Saturday?
Oh, I'm going to be in Annapolis, Maryland on Saturday. I'm going to be at the Navy Cincinnati game.
That's right, but it's a big big vacation for you, man. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah, I'm gonna have a good time. It'll be good. It'll be nice for me as a fan of the University of South Carolina, a team that's fucking terrible. It'll be nice for me to go to a game that they're not playing in where I don't care who wins. And Cincinnati's number two in the country, so they're really fucking good. So I'll just get to watch a really good team play.
And as you can tell by my banner behind me, those of you who know, you know, I'm quite fond of the state of Maryland.
I mean, I guess it's all right. I'm flying into Baltimore, so, you know, whatever.
Hey. Hey, I love flying into Baltimore.
I'm sure you do. Wish your ass would love flying into South Carolina.
Oh, it's coming. It's coming soon. It's coming very soon.
In the meantime, y'all, you can find me on Twitter at Dr. S'mores. You can find the good brother Rance on Twitter at...
It's Ray Cash. The show's at Outsiders Edge CS. We're at Chair Shot Media. Always use your head and whatnot. I feel like there's something else that I wanted to say about, was it about Maryland? I don't know, give a fuck. Yeah, support your boys. Yeah, I don't know what else to say. Hey.
We are part of the Chairshot Radio Network. And remember, y'all, we here at the Outsider's Edge are just some increasingly older gentlemen doing everything that we can trying to make it out here in this world. And sometimes we're going to hit you with them necessary things like, fucking A, is it time for blood money again? Seriously?
Cash and checks.
I guess. And other
times. Be safe on the plane, y'all.
For real. Shit. And other times we're going to hit you with them things that you just straight up need to fucking hear. Like, New Japan just ain't what it used to be. But no matter what, y'all, we're just out here chasing our dreams. You got to respect that, because if you don't, well, regardless of the time of year, we just don't give up.
Fuck you.
Thanks for listening. Catch you next time.
I wonder if you can fly Spirit to Saudi Arabia.
I mean, you better have some Spirit if you're going to Saudi Arabia.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.